Mark had just recorded a healing of a man with leprosy that Jesus had performed. And then he goes on to write in chapter 2 of that gospel the following. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone. And they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." This is the word of the Lord. The reputation of Jesus was growing rapidly. He was preaching powerfully. He was changing lives. He was healing bodies. Everywhere he went now, he was an attraction that drew great crowds. Crowds of people who were curious about him. Some people who were critical of him. People who were searching for something in their lives. People who were needy. Needy of some kind of touch that would renew who they were. And after his tour of the synagogues and his preaching, the scriptures tell us that he came to Capernaum. And he came into the house from which he was going to preach next, and the crowd was so overwhelming that they couldn't fit into the building. They overflowed into the courtyard, the spaces around the building. And it was to this place that four friends brought their friend. They were convinced that this paralytic friend of theirs needed to be brought to Jesus. This person was in need of wholeness, and they wanted that for him. So they put him on a mat. Each one carried a corner of that mat-like pallet and brought him to the Lord. You know, as I look at this passage and the desire of these to bring wholeness to this man, the question that rises is, what does it take to bring wholeness to someone? And I think this passage gives us an idea. And I've outlined my thoughts this way. First of all, it takes community. It takes a group of people to care for one another. For this paralytic, it took a band of close friends, a community of friends who were committed to make sure that he was taken care of. So these four put their friend on a mat, each one taking a corner, and went to bring him to Jesus. And they wouldn't allow any obstacle to stop them. As the Bible says, they couldn't get through the crowd, so they went up some side stairs up to the top of this residence. Most of those structures in those days had a side stairs. And the top was most often just flat. And so they got up there, and I don't read anywhere that they asked permission, but they tore that roof apart. And those kinds of roofs were sort of thatched roofs with mud and other vegetation. And while Jesus was preaching, they were scraping away the roof. And then with ropes, they lowered the man in front of Jesus. I've never had that experience preaching. I would think it would be a little disconcerting. If you're moving along with a message and there are important things you want to say, and right in the middle of having something to say, this body comes floating down. The closest thing to being disrupted like that was at a conference. And at this particular conference, I was speaking in the morning, and above me, without my really realizing it, were some balloons and a netting. People had prepared for a celebrative party for that night. And so that was up there. Well, the netting came loose right at my best point that I was trying to make. And all of a sudden, the balloons started just floating down around me. It felt kind of celebrative, and I didn't think I had preached well enough for them to create balloons for everything that I said, but it sure was distracting. And all of a sudden, your focus goes to something else, and you wonder how you're going to get past that to get back to the point that you want to make. With a man coming down, the man becomes the focus for Jesus. He became, in essence, the message of Jesus that day. He became a part of a person that needed to be cared for. A community brought him. Four people brought him. And Jesus was going to respond to care for their friends. It's interesting that before Jesus said anything to the man, the Bible says that Jesus, when he saw their faith, moved to act on behalf of the man. It doesn't say that Jesus was responding to the faith of the man being brought. It says that Jesus was responding to the faith of the people bringing the man to Christ. I'm sure that that individual's faith was stirred along with them, but it was the faith of the people who brought the one to Jesus that Jesus was responding to. It's a great encouragement to us, I believe, because there are times when our faith is just simply shaky. We don't know if we can trust Jesus to solve our problems or take care of us or to respond to us. We don't know how to pray to him on certain days. And there are days in our life when we don't want to pray. That's when being a part of a community is so valuable, because people can surround us with their faith, their trust in Jesus. We're not going to be abandoned from Jesus' care because our friends are praying for us. Our friends are carrying us spiritually into the presence of Christ. Our friends are surrounding us. That's what defines the church. That's what Christian community is. All of us taking care of one another. You know, this passage causes me to ask myself, and this morning you, if you were in some troubling place, difficult place, Are there four people in your life that you could count on to come to your help? That you could count on to be praying for you fervently? That you could count on to take you to a place of help? At least four people? Could you name those four people? Could you be one of the four to carry someone else if in need? I think if we don't have that kind of conviction, if we don't have those kinds of relationships, we're missing on the design of God for the church. We're not quite experiencing the community of God. And that's yet to be cultivated. Jesus saw their faith. And that's why that man was taken care of. I read an article in a newspaper some time ago. And it told a story of a woman who was driving through a part of Canada in her trusty Honda Civic. But she was in territory where she probably could have used a four-wheel drive of some kind. A time of year and a place where the roads were a little bit rugged, and there were lots of fog that came in every morning. Well, this woman stopped at this particular motel and asked the person at the desk to wake her up at 5 a.m. so she could get a fresh start on her trip. And she did exactly that. She got up early after the call came and went to the coffee shop and was mentioning to the waitress there at the coffee shop that she was eager to get on her way, but she said she noticed that the fog had really gotten heavy and was told that that happened regularly there at that time of year. She said, but I'm committed to go. There were a couple of men who were having breakfast near her in that coffee shop. And they heard what she was saying. They were truck drivers. And they knew that this was not a wise decision on the part of the woman. So they came over to her and said, are you serious about driving in this kind of weather with your little car? And she said, I am. I'm committed to go. And then they said, well, then we must hug you. And she said, you're not touching me. And they said, no, what we mean by that is that one of us truck drivers is going to take our rig and will drive ahead of you, so you come right behind us. And the other driver here will drive right in back of you. We're going to hug your Civic with our large trucks and keep you safe. Well, here in the story, we have four people hugging their friend, taking him to safety through a time that needs help and where he can't help himself. It takes community. And the scriptural example tells us that. And here it takes faith as well. It takes a trust in Christ. And as I've already mentioned, it takes a trust that Christ can do things that we cannot do. And it takes the faith of a community to help individuals, for sometimes we don't have enough faith. People may have struggled believing in our faith community here, but when they do, we can wrap them with our belief that God will do exactly what needs to be done in that situation. The faith of the four stirred probably the faith of the one, but certainly was something that Jesus responded to. You know, and the amount of faith that we have is not as important as the object of the faith that we have. Even if we put a little faith in the right object, we are doing the right thing. We function with faith every day. You click a switch on a wall, believing that the light is going to come on. And it comes on, most of the time. We sit in a chair or in a pew having faith that it's going to hold us. We have faith that one day the San Francisco 49ers will go to the Super Bowl. Marilyn was giving me a contrary opinion. See that? That's the Green Bay Packers over there. So she was claiming to have a new revelation from God today regarding that. Well, but we have faith for these things. I think I've told you the story, but it fits right here as well. So allow me to, if I am repeating it. In my high school years, I loved going into the Sierra Nevadas. Living in the Central California, it's where I went to go skiing and particularly enjoying the winter months. And there's a lake up there as I go directly up the Sierras called Strawberry Lake. Enjoyed going to Strawberry in the summertime as well as the wintertime. And one winter, I went there with some buddies, and the lake was frozen over, as it always gets. And I ran with enthusiasm onto the lake, as my buddies watched me from the shore, and it didn't take long before I went right through the ice. I wasn't too far from shore, so I hit the bottom when the water was about chest high. Just enough to freeze every cell of my body, I felt, and it was a miserable experience. Anyway, while my buddies were having great fun heckling me for my stupidity, I got out of there and survived all of that. But the reason I thought back to it several times, especially when I come across passages like this, was that, you know, as confident and maybe as cocky as I was to show off my bravery getting onto the lake, that didn't solve my problem. I had lots of faith, but faith in the wrong object. I mean, that ice was just barely this thick, just an inch thick, and it didn't take much to go through that ice. All of that to say this, it would have been better for me to have very little faith on 3 feet thickness of ice than to have lots of faith in that thin layer of ice that I fell through. It's a picture for me to remind me that it's the object of my faith that is the most important thing. There are times when we're a little shaky in our faith. Don't you believe that you have to have 100% confidence before coming to Christ for Him to respond to you? Just bring your small faith, just bring my small faith to the right place, and Christ will honor our hearts. That's what was happening here. The faith of the people who were bringing the paralytic was focused on the right man. He was the one that could put our lives back together. He was the one that could take the brokenness of who we are spiritually and physically and wrap His Spirit around us. He was the one that we can trust. And so in addition to having a community to depend on and to have faith that we can have, it obviously also takes Christ as that object of our faith. It is He and only He who can bring the miracle of healing that is needed. It's He that needs to take care of things that are just God-sized, that are bigger than we are, that are things in our life that we can't handle by ourselves. There are some things that just need to be brought to Christ in prayer and in faith, because there's no other source as great or as powerful as He. We may think that we can handle everything. There are some things that only Christ can handle. As I think about the next story I want to tell you, it's going to seem like I'm just focusing on water this morning, but I was in the depth of water when I was very young as well. When I was about 6 years old, I was living in a refugee camp in northwestern Germany, displaced persons camp, technically. And on the side of this camp was a pretty strong river. pretty good-sized ships went through it. The rest of the camp was surrounded by a fence, and it wasn't a prison camp, just a holding place for those who found themselves run out of their country. Well, we kids, we ran around that camp, and we were told to stay clear of that strong river. And there was one bridge that was kind of broken. It went about halfway across, and for some reason, it was broken apart, and the remains were left there. And we were told never to climb on the wooden beams of that broken bridge. Being the kids that we were, we climbed that thing as often as we could. And one day, in my showing off of my climbing, I fell into the river. I'm just realizing that characteristic of mine of showing off and getting cocky and running into things where I shouldn't be seems to be a pattern that for which I may need some prayer. But nevertheless, I ended up in the river. A six-year-old kid, never learned to swim, pretty strong current, and I go down. I kind of remember hitting the bottom, and I did a couple things that were smart then. One of them I don't do as often now, and that is I kept my mouth shut, so I wasn't taking in water. And then I would be kind of bobbing up and down. I would hit the bottom, and I'd push off the bottom to get to the top. So I was close enough to do that, shallow enough to do that. And when my head broke the surface, you know, then I took a breath and then went down again. And I figured, being the brilliant kid that I was, I figured that if I just kept bobbing and pushing toward the shore, that eventually I would get to safety. It's a foolish thought. But nevertheless, my plan. After some minutes of doing that, I felt a grip on the back of my shirt pulling me out of that river. And my four buddies, to whom I was showing off, had gone to get an adult, telling them that this crazy six-year-old jumped off the bridge and he's in trouble. So the adult came and pulled me out. And he took me on home, told my mother, you know, what had happened. And he also told her the first thing I said as he pulled me out of the water. And apparently what I said to him was, I could have done this myself. I could have saved myself. I think that river was too powerful for me. The reason I survived that is someone stronger than I reached into the depths of the water and pulled this stubborn show-off kid back to shore. I've had a I can do this myself attitude for a long time. Fought that through my years. Even now and then, I leaned back and said, I can handle this. You and I know that there are some things that we cannot handle, not by ourselves. And there are some things that our friends can't handle for us, other than taking us to Christ, surrounding us with their love, surrounding us with their prayers, trusting Christ for our welfare, spiritual and otherwise. And particularly spiritually, there's no one who can reach deep into our heart and soul and reshape us, re-strengthen us, rewire us in our wisdom, make us stronger as a person. It takes Christ. How do we get to wholeness in our life? Particularly spiritually, because that is the priority of Christ. How do we get to that wholeness? We give ourselves to the care of our community. our believing community. We trust the faith of that community to pray for us. And we trust the Christ to whom the community brings us. Because that's where everything changes, from the inside out. Just like it happened to this paralytic. Whatever our struggle is, that's what can happen to us, especially the struggles of the soul. Holy Father, we need the touch of Christ. We need to hear him say, like the paralytic heard before his body was healed, "You are forgiven." We don't want to be alone in our struggles. You didn't make us to be alone in our struggles. You designed us for friends to hug us, support us, carry us, pray for us through the times for which we don't have strength all on our own. Teach us how to be people who will allow ourselves to be carried when we need it. Teach us how to be people who carry others when they need it. In a greater way than we've ever been before. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. Amen.